Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that the alms may be done in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." God's word.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. I'm already getting the stink eye from Susan about the gospel reading. She'll have a thing or two to say about that, no doubt. All this stuff about reward and whatnot. One thing to keep in mind, a quick story. This little girl's on a flight by herself coming in to Reno, and there's a storm blowing in over the mountains, and the plane is just getting thrown around the sky, and she's scared. And it just so happens that this woman, Episcopal priest, is sitting next to her and notices that this little girl is frightened. And so the priest just lays her hand on the armrest, and the little girl latches onto her hand, white-knuckled, and looks up at the priest and says, "Reverend Mother, you're a priest of the church. Can't you do something about this storm?" And the priest leans over to her and says, "Oh, honey, I'm in sales, not management." I think I got that from Marilyn. From you? Oh, okay. From Mitch. Well, tell Mitch I used it on Ash Wednesday. And worth remembering. There's a whole lot about the medieval tradition of Ash Wednesday that is not particularly of benefit to anyone that I know of these days, especially when you get into the language like that collect that we use to open, you know, all about our wretchedness and all that good stuff. I've shared this with you before, so it's no big news to anyone here that I don't need any help from the church or anyone else feeling guilt or being afraid. I don't need it, you know, don't need it. I can conjure it and generate it all by myself, thank you very much. So I tend to think of some of that sort of deeply medieval penitential language as throwing the dog a bone, right? If you need that, if you need a little extra guilt, you know, piled on your plate, here you go. You can have it, but don't expect the rest of us to share it. So in a second, you're gonna hear the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And I'm going to share this with the Senate when I get over there, this story. I was talking with my eldest son, Jeremy, who is earning a PhD in astrophysics at UNR, and we were giggling about that phrase, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And he looked at me and he said, "You know, Dad," he said, "I think the 21st century version of that is, remember that you are recyclable." I said, "I'm going to quote that." If you don't mind. He said, "Yeah, sure, go for it." Anyway, I just got a kick out of that. All this stuff that's in the Gospel of Matthew, and by the way, if you do a deep read of this entire section, you can tell that a lot of this was made up. I mean, it's purportedly quoted of Jesus, but the whole thing about, you know, hypocrites blowing trumpets before work, none of that ever happened. It's not a part of the Jewish tradition. And by the way, hypocrite, unlike in our language, hypocrites is the Greek word for this, is not a derogatory term in the first century, the Common Era. It's just a reference to stage actors, you know, people who make a living putting on faces and, you know, taking on characters. And so basically, the whole message of this section is check your motives. Anytime you and I are doing anything, you know, we may think we're, you know, being a service or being helpful. A colleague of mine once said, helpfulness is the cute form of control. Think about that one for a second. You know, so while we're out running around being helpful, we're invited to constantly check our motives. Why are we doing what we're doing? And if it's to make a point, or to make sure that everyone's going to pay attention, a nice attempt at manipulating people to do what you want them to do. You know, you figure, oh, I'll do them this solid, and now they're going to owe me, right? It's all about in the ancient tradition, and if you keep reading in the Gospel of Matthew, which is, as far as we're concerned, it is the Jewish Gospel. I mean, it is written by a Jewish author to a Jewish audience about Jewish people. That may come as a shock to some of you that Jesus was Jewish. Did you know that? He was born Jewish. He lived Jewish. He even died Jewish. And he was raised from the dead. Oh, Jewish. Anyway, and in the ancient tradition, and to this day, and not unlike in the Buddhist tradition as well, it's all about checking our motives and being aware of why we're doing what we're doing. And so this whole invitation and challenge issued in Matthew about prayer and almsgiving and fasting is just simply to say, let's take a moment and make sure we know why we're doing what we're doing. I mean, is it for adulation or manipulation or getting people to pay attention? Or is this my best attempt today? It may change tomorrow, but is it my best attempt today to connect with the divine? And so, in effect, the entire season of Lent, the whole point is to take some time, do a little breathing, and check our motives. Now, having said that, one of the things that my spiritual director used to say to me constantly, in my earlier days when I'd get easily wrapped around the pole of shame and guilt and fear. I mean, I'm a good Catholic kid. As much as I fought it, that stuff got lodged in my DNA, and it doesn't get shaken loose very easily. And my spiritual director would listen to all this, you know, shenanigans, shame, guilt, and fear. Oh my God, I'm such a terrible person. And then 30 seconds later, oh my God, they never listened to me, blah, blah, blah. You know, zinging from, you know, the scum of the earth to the center of the universe in one breath. Thank God I still do that, but not quite as much. There's hope. But he would listen to this, and then he'd quietly say, you know, God can use mixed motives. Let me say that again, because it bears repeating. God can use mixed motives. So even though as we move through the season of Lent, we're checking our motives and all, and of course, you know, those of us who are overachievers, and there are a couple in the room here who, you know, we'll check our motives, and we'll want them to be absolutely pure as the driven snow. And life just isn't that way, and nor are we built that way, right? And so we check our motives, we realize that God can take us as he is, you know, good, bad, and indifferent, and then we put our best foot forward, always in the hope that we're connecting with the divine, because that's what it's all about. Now, here's the great secret of Christianity that no one has ever told, but we talk about it a lot here at St. Peter's. That connection with the divine is already in place, and it is already in full force, and it is front and center whether we've asked for it, whether we realize it, whether we lean into it or not. And that goes not just for us, but all of humanity and all of creation. It's called union with the divine. And it's part of the deal, and it has to do not with us, but with God. It is the nature of God. So you and I don't have to worry about, you know, whether God is with us or if God is with us. That's a done deal. The question in our Lenten discipline, if you will, is simply this. Are you and I being intentional about that? And are we doing our best to remain cognizant of the presence and the grace of God in our lives in order to be able to work and live out of that place? When I was over at the legislature this morning, Nick Embry, who is the pastor of the Wesleyan Church down on Solomon, south of Fremont, he said, you know, he said, I've gotten in the habit these days of getting up in the morning, and he said, when I say my prayers, it goes something like this. Let whatever comes out of me, dear God, be grace rather than acid. I can use that. So I share that with you. It would be interesting to spend some time on a daily basis, you know, asking that kind of a prayer. And here we are in the season of Lent. And so, what else was I going to say about that? Oh, yeah, I already mentioned the thing about helpfulness being the cute form of control. That's a fun one to play with. And then if you're toying with the idea of, oh, what am I going to give up, or, you know, what am I going to take on extra during the season of Lent? One of the things that occurred to me the other morning was, well, maybe I should consider the possibility of giving up the illusion of control this Lent. And the other thing, and this will be a classic for me till my dying breath, when Callan and Cameron Aiton came to me one Lent a few years back before they went off to college and started establishing lives and whatnot, I'd made some comment in the sermon about, forget this giving up stuff, blah, blah, you've heard me, you know, talk like that before. And the girls approached me and said, you know, Father Jeff, this year we got our heads together and decided we're going to give up television and social media so that we can spend more time together and with our parents. And it blew me out of the saddle. I mean, it just, it would have never even occurred to me to and they did it. And their parents lived to tell the tale, too. So do what you got to do in this season of Lent, but always with that idea of checking your motives, just making, trying to be aware of why we're doing what we're doing, and at the same time realizing that God can use mixed motives, because that's the nature of God. Take a moment. Take a nice deep breath.